Today's shiur was dedicated by Mr. Eli and Riva Goldschmidt for the Refuah Shleima of Yitzhak ben Rivka Rachel and Rachel Leah Sarah bar Yehudis. Also dedicated by Dr. and Mrs. Tiber in memory of Miriam Rachel Bas Shlomet. Was dedicated by Mrs. Dani Schertz, Leilu Nishmas Moshe ben Zvi and Rav Chaim ben Abraham. And by Mrs. Tamara Navon from Miami, Florida for the Zivug of Yosef ben Tamara. May he find his
shidduch bekarov. Amen. Thank you, Natalie. Not just for the announcements, but thank you for everything. And also should be a schus for shleimah for Simcha Yitzchak ben Merle Leatka, and for shleimah for Chav and the Shama Basaviva Shoshar and Soshar for Yisrael. We should only a Simcha every Shabnachis and Rav. Okay. It was a long winter, but Bahashem, Yizman, Cheruseinu, Pesach. Every year I'd like to tell a story about Rabbi Levin to begin. I'm sure you all know about the Tzaddik Mishalayim, the Barye, and you also know that he had, I wouldn't call it just a custom, but his avoda was to spend a lot of time visiting the boys that were in prison. Jewish freedom fighters in the Irgun, Chevra, they were in prison. And he walked great distances, even when he was old, to go visit. And they loved him. The guys loved him. He loved them. And even the British had some derech eretz for Rav Aryeh. And the story is told that Rav Aryeh came Pesach morning to visit the guys in jail that were taken by the British. And he was sitting with them, and he asked them, guys, how did it go last night? You had a Seder. How was the Seder? They were able to have a Seder. How was the Seder? So one of the fellows said, Rebbe, the Seder was great until it came to Shvaich Chamascha, because we weren't allowed to open the door for Eliyahu HaNavi. We're in jail. We weren't allowed to open the door for Eliyahu HaNavi. So Rabbi Aryeh said, this is the way it's written in the Sefer, Bonai Ahuvai, my beloved sons, my children. He said, you should know that every person really is sitting in a prison, every person is sitting in jail. And you could be sitting in jail even while you're in your house. You could be sitting in jail. We saw that over this past period of time. Now, on many levels, a person could be imprisoned in his own marriage, in his own house, in his own life. He feels or she feels that he's in jail, she's in jail. And the way to leave, Rabbi Aryeh said, the way for a person to leave that jail that he or she is in is only through an opening of the heart. It's only through the Pesach, there's an opening in the heart. That's the only way to leave. Linkoiv Nekev, he said, to drill a hole through the heart. And in that way, Afmi Sheyoshev Beis Kela, even a person like you, even people like yourselves who are actually sitting in prison, even people like yourselves who are sitting in prison can be true b'nei charon, are also free to leave. Through that opening of the heart, everyone is free to leave through the opening of the heart. So, here we are, it's already a couple of thousand years later, and we, thank God, are able to open the door for Eliyahu HaNavi. I don't know how that works in hotels. I never asked how that works in a hotel. But we're able to open the door for Eliyahu HaNavi. And what we believed in as little children, that he's there, it's true. He is there. And whatever that means on a deeper level, the appearance of Eliyahu HaNavi, to open that part of ourselves up for Eliyahu HaNavi really is what the whole Yontif is about. So I want to talk to you for a few minutes about that. People appreciate being complimented. It's nice to get a compliment, right? And one of the nicest compliments that a person can receive, especially a woman, is that you have very good taste. Right? If someone tells you, they come to your house, or they see how you're dressed, and a friend tells you, that's very tasteful, you have very, very good taste, that's a tremendous, tremendous compliment. And one of the most amazing things about this Yontif of Pesach is the central role that taste plays in everything of the Seder night. This whole Yontif is the inyan of of taste, the taste of the matzah, the taste of the mor. When we were zochet to have the Beis HaMikdash, Mitzvah will have it again soon, the taste of the Korban Pesach. And everybody knows that it's so important that the taste of the Korban Pesach, when we were able to, would remain in the person's mouth. That would be the last thing. We have now the Afikomen. So after the Afikomen, we don't eat anything. The taste is supposed to remain. The taste of the Afikomen that represents the Korban Pesach. And all of this is talking about the taste, aside from the actual chayfetz, the actual food itself that we eat, all these things, the foods, the wine, and so on. Even the word chametz, and what chametz is. Chametz is when you have a taste, and the taste has spoiled. The taste has soured. That's what the word chimutz really means. When something was in the way that it should be, and the taste was affected, was lost. The Ramban, there's a very interesting Ramban in Vayikra. The Ramban explains that the word chametz is from Lashon of chaymetz. And he brings a pasuk in Tehillim, Ayin Aleph. Dovid HaMelech says, Elokai, palteini miyad rasha. Dovid HaMelech is asking, please, Hashem, I'm begging you, save me from the hands of the wicked, of the rasha. Mikaf ma'avel v'chometz. From the hand of the chometz, and the pasuk chometz means thief. The word chometz, chometz, means thief. And the Ramban explains that you had something that tasted delicious. It tasted sweet, it tasted beautiful. V'nif chametz, it became chometz, means that its taste was stolen from it. Its taste was lost. It's not chometz. And therefore, we find Dovid HaMelech uses this word in the context of feelings, of emotions. Ki yis chametz levavi. When the heart is stolen or ruined or broken or soured, hurt. Ki yis chametz levavi. It's lashon of chametz. That means that on Pesach we are supposed to taste, have certain tastes. We'll see how it comes back to the meaning, you know, of the compliment of having good taste in a few minutes. We're supposed to taste things on Pesach. The taste is very important. And the enemy of Pesach, the arch enemy on Pesach, what we're most afraid of on Pesach, is chametz. And chametz means when the taste has been ruined, when the taste has been lost and stolen. And stolen, that's chametz. So it's a battle between good taste, and the enemy of taste. That's what Pesach is all about. Now in Halacha, there's a very interesting din. You might not be familiar with this term, but you certainly are familiar with the concept. And Halacha is called Tam Ki'ikr. Tam Ki'ikr. So for instance, if by accident there was a piece of meat that went into milk, it fell into milk. Tam kiker means that even though I have removed the meat, and there's no meat there, it's gone, but if there's any taste, if there's any tam of meat, if there's any taste that remains, and Chazal had a way of measuring this, as you all know, there's an equation of how to measure this. Tam kiker means that even though the actual cheftza, the chefetz, the object of iser that is prohibited, in this case, meat in the milk, even though the actual chayfetz is gone, and it's not here, Tam Ki'ikr says that if the taste of that is there, so it's less than 1/60th of an equation, if the taste of that is there, then this milk is prohibited. In other words, it's considered as if the meat is still there. Because Tam is Ki'ikr. Tam ikr means what? Is the main thing. Tam is ki ikr. It means it's like the thing itself. And the pnimius, the deeper meaning of this is, and the reason for this is, the tam of something is its pnimius. why is it that particular foods have certain tastes? And the same reason that a person has certain personality, a certain teva, a certain mahus, tam ki ikka means that when we're talking about tam, tes ayin mem, and the mem, when we're talking about tam, we're talking about the mahus of something. The taste of something is its essence, is what it is. The taste is the mahus. It's the ruchnius, it's the atzmius, it's the essence of the thing itself. That's what the tam is. It's the essence of the thing itself. And therefore, even if the meat is no longer in the milk, in other words, the actual physical mamashes, that tangible reality of the meat has been removed from the milk, nevertheless, the tam, the essence, the inner mysterious personality of that meat has left its mark on this milk, on this bowl of milk. And it's forbidden. It's forbidden. When the tam of something is gone, then the thing is left without personality, without its essence, without the core of what it is. That's what the taste of something is. So there's a pasuk at the beginning of Shir Shirim, and you all know this pasuk. Rashi is magnificent. We read this Pesach for those who read Shir Shirim every Friday, every Erev Shabbos. Certainly, the minig, the very strong minig, is to read Shir Shirim after the Seder. If one is able to read Shir Shirim after the Seder, and Ashkenazim lain Shir Shirim in Shul on Shabbos Chol Hamoed and Shabbos Pesach. So, at the beginning of Shir Shirim, it says that there's a certain strange and very romantic request that Knesset Yisrael, that Hashem's Kala, Hashem's bride, is a request that she's making from the Chazan, from HaKadosh Baruch. Yishakenim minishika ispihu, ki toivim deidecha miyai. The Kala in Shir Shirim is asking for a kiss. Yishakenim minishika ispihu, meaning that the Jewish people, Hashem's Kala, is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a kiss. Yishakenim anishika espiyu, the kisses of your mouth. Ki toivim doidecha miyayin, because your love is more dear to me than wine. Ki toivim doidecha miyayin. That's the pasuk in Shir Shir. And we don't learn this with children in Cheder, you understand? We don't read this, and it would cause everybody to blush and to be confused what it really means and what it's talking about on a deeper level. But Rashi tells us an amazing thing. Rashi says, Yishakenim Nishika Espiyu Zeh Hashir, this song of Shir Hashir, Zeh Hashir, Omeris Bifiha, the Jewish people, or the Kala, says with her mouth, utters or sings, Begalusa uba'almenusa, during the long years of separation between the Kala and the Chasen, during the years of Galus and during the years of her feeling like an almana, like a widow. What does the Kala say during these long years of Galus? What does the Jewish people, what do we say, what do we feel over these long years when we're so distant and far from Hashem? We feel that way. Rashi says, Shlomo. Now in Shir Hashim, Shlomo is a code word for Hashem. So Mi'itain, the Jewish people are saying in Galus, in our loneliness of Galus, the Jewish people are saying, Mi'itain, if only, V'yishakeni HaMelech Shlomo, if only Hashem would kiss us, V'nishikos Piyu, with the kisses of his mouth, kamo me'az, like he used to. Pe'el-peh, prophecy. Pe'el-peh, like Hashem spoke to us, Hashem spoke to the Nevi'im. Pe'el-peh, the way that in the Shikha, the way that there's a kiss. And then Rashi continues, V'nem edug mishlo, Al Shem Shenoslehem Terasa, because Hashem, many years ago, at Har Sinai, gave us his Torah. V'diber imohem panim al panim. And he wasn't a mystery. I mean, he's always a mystery, but he spoke to us. Panim al panim, which means pe'el pe, a kiss. Hashem spoke to us at Har Sinai. Every one of us was there. We're still Jews because somehow there is this residual memory that we have that we're holding on to of that kiss, of what happened at Har Sinai, when Hashem spoke to us. Panim al panim. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Hashem spoke to us. V'diber imohem panim al panim. V'osam dodim, and that love, the love that we felt then, arevim aleihem, mikol shashu, is sweeter to us than any delight of the world. Umuvtachem mi'ito, and Hashem has promised us, is Rashi. Umuvtachem mi'ito, and Hashem has promised us, lofia od aleihem, that he's going to come back. He's going to come back. You know, the last thing on Tisha B'Av morning of the Kinnis is a late Siyomia, Kamoy Shabu Sula, is a woman who's waiting for her husband to return. The husband of her youth has disappeared. They've been separated, and she's waiting for him to come back. And Rashi says, and when he comes back, and here's where the kissing will resume. The Varlhem Sod Ta'ameha, now we're talking about taste, Sod Ta'ameha or Mr. Reitzfunoseha. Hashem first kissed us, Rashi says, at Har Sinai. And we felt him and we saw his presence in such a way that's called Pe'el Pe'panim Alpanim. But it's been many years and our beloved has disappeared. We don't see him and we don't hear from him. But he promised us he's going to come back. Levair lahem sod ta'amel, to explain to us the secret of the ta'amim, the ta'amim, umistereitz v'nosah, the secret hidden things of the Torah, the secret hidden meaning of the Torah, he's going to explain to us. Umachalim panov, and we're begging him. When we say the words, yishakenim and yishikos piyu, we're begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu to keep his promise. You kissed us at Har Sinai, and you revealed to us your Torah, and we saw you, Kiv Yochel, and it was clear to us. Atar Es Ladas, everything was clear to us. Then the lights went out, you disappeared. Okay, we messed up, whatever, but you're gone from our lives. We don't see you in a clear, visible, tangible way. We don't see you. We don't feel you in a tangible way. But you promised that you're going to come back, and you're going to kiss us again. And what is that kiss? Rashi says, so ta'ameha, the secret of the, now the way that this is usually translated, means the secret for all of the reasons for the mitzvahs. So ta'ameha, like tamei ha-mitzvahs, right? Tamei mitzvahs, why do we have a mezuzah? Why do we have Shabbos? Why? That Hashem is going to reveal to us the ta'ameha u'mistoreit sefuno seho, and the secret hidden meanings of the secret hidden ta'amim of Torah. And therefore, Mechalim Panav L'Kayim Dvar. We're begging him to keep his promise. You ever see Rashi like this? This is Rashi. V'zehu Yishakeidim in the Shikar Espiyu. And Rashi says, this is the meaning of the beginning of Shir Shirim, Yishakeidim in the Shikar Espiyu, that the Jewish people and each every one of us is terribly lonely without Hashem and Golas. Hashem, you once opened up to us, you once kissed us, with that relationship of panim al panim, and you promised us that you would come back and we would continue this relationship, this very romantic panim al panim, pe al pe, nishikas would continue, and we're asking you to keep your promise. But Rashi is telling us is what is this kiss? And Rashi is saying the kiss is the kiss of sod ta'amel. You taught us the Torah on a certain level. That was the kiss back at Har Sinai. But you didn't finish. We're waiting for the kiss of the deeper, deeper tamim, the deeper reasons, the deeper meaning of Torah. So the great Rosh Hashiva, Rav Huttner, Zecher Tzadik L'Vracha, in Pachad Yitzchak, he talks about those three words, Sod Ta'ameha Utsfunoseha. The Sod that Hashem's, the kiss that we're anticipating, that we're asking for, is the kiss of Sod Ta'ameha Utsfunoseha. The secret of the Tam of what's hidden. And Rav Huttner explains that you might make a mistake to think that the word Tam here means reason or rationale. In other words, all of these years, Rabbi Shalom, we've been keeping Shabbos. All these years, we've been saying brachas. All these years, the men have been putting on tefillin. And all these years, the women have been keeping their things. And we do all this stuff. And we read in the Sfarim, we heard like in the Sefer HaChinuch, or from Rabbi Shaul Hirsch, or from other fantastic tzaddikim, great tzaddikim, we heard all kinds of beautiful reasons. But you know, Rabbi Shalom, there's something much deeper than all of this. The Sod Ta'ameh Utsfunasa, what's the real reason? In other words, even after studying the Zohar, or learning the writings of the Arizal of Kabbalah, we're asking you for Sod Ta'ameh Utsfunasa. So the Rav Huttner says, it does not mean reason or rationale. The way that the term is used, Tamei HaMitzvahs, what's the reason for putting on film? Why do we have a mezuzah on the door? Why is it that we keep Shabbos and so on? It's not reason or rationale. Rav Huttner says, over here, Rashi's talking about ta'am as taste. A taste. Tasting something. And the meaning of that, the meaning of Rav Huttner says is as follows. What Rashi is telling us is that over the long years of Golus, our taste buds have been affected. We've lost our ability to taste Yiddishkeit the way that Hashem gave it to us. We've lost our ability to taste that relationship. That happens with parents and kids, with wives, husbands and wives, with friends, that you know the reason that you're married, you know the reason that you're a kid, you know the reason why you're friends, but that doesn't mean that the ta'am, that the taste, the inner essence, the ruchnius of that, of what brought you together is still there. And even the deeper ta'am that you don't even intellectually, you don't intellectually understand. Rav Huttner says, as we learned earlier, he doesn't bring this up, but as I mentioned earlier, that the taste of something is the ikr, tam ki ikr. Because the tam means the essence. It means the neshama. It means the ruchnius. That's what the tam is. And that's why even if you take the meat out and you no longer have the thing, the piece of meat, but the tam, the neshama of the meat, is still in the milk. And the neshama is what? And the neshama asks it. It makes it forbidden. Tam ki ikr. The tam is the ikr, the tam of a person, the tam of a relationship. Is the ikr, is the essence, is the core, is the neshama. That tam of Yiddishkeit being the essence of who I am, not something that I just do, not something that's required of me, but the very essence of who I am is my taste. It's the taste of who I am. It's the taste of who I am. I've spoken about this many, many times over the years. And it's a very big inyan in my way of thinking and living is to somehow to recapture that taste of Yiddishkeit. That those of you who are a little bit older and was zeicher to see Jews were, or even if you're a little bit younger, and you have good taste, and you met old Jews from a different world than the one that we're presently in right now. It's something different. And I know that I've been told and I'm constantly being reminded that you cannot possibly get that back. It's finished. There's a time of a year that a Jew has in the way that a Jew, you and I have it to a certain degree. It depends a lot on the upbringing, but we all have it to some degree. We don't, our movements, our emotions, our gestures are not the same as the rest of the world. Even the different ways that we do things and that we say things. there's still something left of that time, of a Yid, of a Jew. In the same way that when Rashi speaks of peh el peh, a kiss, Shirashim uses this term of a neshika, of a kiss. And Rashi says peh el peh. Peh el peh is deeper than two people that are just talking to each other. It means that in a neshika, you know, it's an interesting thing, the way that a mikveh works, without going into any details, it's very complicated, but the most basic way that the mikveh works is that you have the water that comes from the rain, and then you have the water that comes from the city, right? You all know that the water that you have in a mikveh is not constantly being replenished by rainwater. That wouldn't work practically. In most places in the world, it wouldn't work. And the only way that the mikveh can work is because we have that original rainwater. And then the city water, there's a wall in the mikveh. On the other side of the wall that you don't see, there's the bar. There's the rainwater, the original rainwater. And there's an opening between the bor, that original collection of rainwater, and the city water. There are many halachas about how you do this. And when that is opened, there is a kiss that takes place between the two bodies of water, the rainwater and the water from the faucet. That's called, in halacha, it's called hashaka. Hashaka is from the word nishika. It means there's a kiss. And that's how the mikveh works. Because that opening is there, and the two waters are able to join one with the other. There's this mating of the two waters. That's called a nishika. That's pe'el peh. Rucha berucha is called. One spirit mingles with the other spirit. That is what gives something a taste. That's what gives something taste. That's Aleph. Now, Beis, listen carefully. By Malava Malka, Mosei Shabbos, I hope that all of you, to some degree or another, observe Malava Malka. It's a very, very, very important thing. It's part of Shulchan Aruch. Many Jews here stopped doing that. They lost the taste from Malava Malka. It's very sad. It's a very deep thing, Malava Malka. And we have a whole Zmiris. If you look in the Zmiris, there's a whole Zmiris from Motzei Shabbos. A lot of people never saw the Zmiris from Motzei Shabbos. There's a whole Zmiris from Motzei Shabbos. And there's a description there of Eliyahu HaNavi. Now, you know that we wait for Eliyahu HaNavi to come, not just by the door, Pesach night, but by Bris, by every Bris, and especially by Motzei Shabbos, because he can't come on Shabbos. So the first opportunity for him to come into our lives is right after Shabbos, Motzei Shabbos. So when you look at this Zmiris of Motzei Shabbos, you have all kinds of beautiful piyutim about Eliyahu HaNavi, right? Songs about Eliyahu HaNavi that we've been singing for many, many, many years. Songs of Eliyahu HaNavi. But the way that Eliyahu HaNavi is described over there in the Zmiris is the following. One of the sentences it says, who is Eliyahu? Ish shalotam tam misa ukvura. Ish shalotam tam misa ukvura. He is an extraordinary man. He is unique. He never tasted the taste of death or burial. Now, the main point here is that we know that Eliyahu HaNavi didn't die. He went up, he went up in a storm, in a fire. He went up, he didn't die. So, is this just nice poetry, Shalotam Tam Misa Ukvura, that he never tasted the taste of death? Just say he never died. He never died. What does it mean that he never tasted the taste of death? The taste of death or burial. He never tasted Lotam Tam Misa Ukvura. You know, there are many stories about encounters with Eliyahu HaNavi. Some of them are real, some of them are imagined, whatever. There's a very fine person that I know that he put out a book a few years ago. He interviewed different people who have stories of their meetings with Eliyahu HaNavi that they have in their family. And we also have one in our family. My father, Zichron Levracha, something when he was a kid. And there are many, which is in the book also. He called me up about it. And there are many, many stories of meeting Eliyahu HaNavi. And you know that sometimes Eliyahu HaNavi will come as a simple person. Sometimes he'll come disguised as a tzaddik. There are all different ways that Eliyahu HaNavi comes into the world. Sometimes he comes as a malach. Sometimes he can be seen. Sometimes he can't be seen. But there's something that's called Gilui Eliyahu. This is not just an Eliyahu HaNavi makes a cameo appearance to teach a certain lesson. The word tzaddikim that they conversed with Eliyahu HaNavi, the Ari HaKadosh, we know, the Arizal, that he himself spoke to his student Rabbi Chaim Vital about Giluyim that he had of Eliyahu HaNavi and how he communicated with Eliyahu HaNavi. Even in our times, there was a great tzaddik, Rabbi Eli Lapian. Rabbi Eli Lapian, his name was Eliyahu. Rabbi Lapian was he was nifter maybe late 50s, early 60s, I don't remember exactly. And Rebellion, when he was a young man, he was in Poland, and he wanted to go see the Ger Rebbe. He went to see the Sfasemis. And the second he walked in, the Sfasemis stood up. Now, the Sfasemis was an old man, and Rebellion was a young man. And the Sfasemis stood up, and Rebellion was very flustered by that. And he said, "Why is the Rebbe standing for me?" So the Sfasemis said, "A man your age that has already had Gilui Eliyahu, I stand up for such a person." And they say, Rebbe Eliyahu said, if the Rebbe knows that, then he has no reason to stand up for me. In other words, he didn't deny it. But Rebbe, if you know that that's true, then you certainly don't have to stand up for me. So the meaning of this is that they both have Gilui Eliyahu. They're part of that club, that very, very select elite club of tzaddikim who have had encounters with Eliyahu HaNavi. And what happens to a person? Like with our Ari HaKadosh, with Arizal, which we can't be masik, we can't comprehend the greatness of Arizal. When a tzaddik would have this encounter with Eliyahu HaNavi, as Arizal describes, and Eliyahu HaNavi was Megale Ta'amei Torah. Eliyahu HaNavi would reveal Ta'amei Torah. It doesn't mean that Eliyahu HaNavi would tell him over a fancy intellectual pilpul some concept in learning. Anybody who ever met Eliyahu HaNavi was transformed by that meeting. It wasn't a matter of Eliyahu HaNavi saying some good idea, a chap, something that's better than your Rosh Hashiva, something that's smarter than that big Talmud Chacham. That's not Gilui Eliyahu. Gilui Eliyahu means something else. Gilui Eliyahu means that Eliyahu HaNavi gave over to certain tzaddikim who were privileged to come into contact with him, he gave over to them the tam of Yiddishkeit. Let me make the point. Give over the tam of Yiddishkeit. The deeper, deeper taste, the essence of Yiddishkeit was given to them. The chiyas, the neshama, the pnimius. Because why was Eliyahu HaNavi appointed as the shliach to appear to tzaddikim to give over the essence of Yiddishkeit? Why was this Eliyahu HaNavi's job? Because Eliyahu HaNavi appears to tzaddikim and gives over to them not just a nice idea, he gives over to them the essence, that kiss. Because Eliyahu HaNavi has the ability on some level to hand over, to deliver this kiss from Hashem to a Jew. This kiss that changes a person's life. This kiss of coming into contact, like the mikveh, of coming into contact, mamish, with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in a real way, that you taste it. So that's what it means, that Eliyahu's lo ta'am tam misa u'gvura. Because Eliyahu HaNavi never tasted the taste of death. Eliyahu HaNavi never tasted the taste of death. He's kulay chai. You understand? As a ganz. He never died. What is death? Death means, like we learned before from the Ramban, what's chametz? Chametz had something, it was gishmak. It was gishmak, it had a taste. V'nit chametz, it's spoiled. The taste is lost. It's soured. When a person is alive, then the neshama is in the guf. The soul is in the body. And because the soul is in the body, the person is gishmak. He laughs, he sings, he screams, he cries, he argues. He does all kinds of interesting things as long as the tam hasn't been taken. As long as he hasn't tasted the taste of death, as long as he hasn't gotten that bitter bile that comes from the mouth of the Malach HaMavis when we die. When a person is lowered into the grave. As long as a lepnach, he's alive still, he has that neshama, that chius, that tam, that taste of a living being. And the tam is kicker. The tam is the essence. The taste is the essence. So when Eliyahu Navi was appointed by Hashem throughout history, throughout time, to deliver little kisses to the tzaddikim, and even to us, because that's what Pesach is about. And even the meaning of a bris, now you know, coming to the bris, that covenant, that connection of a Jew to Hashem. And it says in Zemiras, what is it that qualifies Eliyahu Navi to be the one to bring over during the long, lonely years of Galus? These little kisses of a reminder to the tzaddikim and to those who make themselves worthy, even during Galus, to get a little kiss from Hashem. So the Zemiras tells us the qualification of Eliyahu Navi is Ish Shalot Ta'am Tam Misa. Here is a human being who never ever lost his taste. You understand? He never lost his taste. When a person dies, the neshama leaves, and what do you have? You have a boss of a dam. Nabach, you have. When I was in school, they used to say it was like, I think like $1.98 of material. Maybe now it's up to $5. But it was, what's a boss of a dam? What's flesh and blood and bones? It's gorgeous. What is it? Some water, mostly water. But a tam? The saddest thing is when you love someone, that person leaves the world, and you. All you could think about is when this person was alive, laughing, and you go back to the early years and you try to remember when he or she was labedic and was filled with life and had such a tam, had such a good taste. And the tam is the ikkar of a person, the neshama, the pnim is the chiyas of a person. Death means the loss of taste. Something that happened during COVID was a lot of people lost their taste. Some people that didn't get it back yet. I don't know. I hope everybody has this back. But there are people that I know. There's a bach that I know that he hasn't gotten it back. A bach that he still hasn't been able to taste anything. It's a strange inyan. When it happened to me, it was at the beginning when I had it. I didn't even know that was a symptom of it. I just thought it was strange that I haven't tasted anything. And I didn't have a cold, but I felt fine, but I didn't taste anything. And we found out later that was one of the symptoms of COVID. A loss of chiyas. A loss of chiyas. You might be in your house, but like Rebellia said, you could still be in jail. If your life doesn't have a tam, you could be married, you could have children, you could have everything going for you. One thing that's missing is the taste. There's no taste to your life, God forbid. Doesn't have a tam. Doesn't have a taste. When a person's makabel from Eliyahu Navi, when a tzaddik receives something from Eliyahu Navi, that kiss, which is only a tiny bit of an appetizer for the kiss that Hashem is going to give us when Mashiach comes. It's an appetizer. It wasn't that Eliyahu Navi said a chiddush, some novel concept or novel idea that's interesting, that's exciting. It was an event of Yishakenim and Yishikos Piyum. Maybe some of you have experienced this in some way in life, that there was a moment that you could look back on it in Ruchnius, in your Yiddishkeit, that was transformative. I've often had conversations with, especially with Balei Tshuva, for whom it's usually easier to map these things out, when there was a transformative moment, when there was a kiss that Hashem gave you. there was a little bit of Elio. No, it could be there was some dreg of Elio at that time, that there was that opening of the door, that leaving the jail, the prison of lifelessness, of emptiness, of meaninglessness, of a life without a tam. And then there's a tchias ha'meisim that takes place. Just like when Mashiach comes, the dead will be brought back to life. Elio Navi is going to initiate that entire process of Mashiach and tchias ha'meisim, because Elio Navi is the one person. I mean, we have stories about other people, but one thing where it says clearly in Tanakh, not that there are legends and all kinds of stories, there's a lot of stories, but in Tanakh, it says clearly in Tanakh that Elisha was standing there, and Elio Navi went up. Bizarre Shemaim. He went up to Shemaim. He didn't die. Elio Navi didn't die. Lotam Tamisa. Therefore, the Indian of Elio Navi is that appetizer of the taste of Yiddishkeit, of Toameh Chaim Zoch, like we said in Shabbos. If you taste Shabbos, Toameh Chaim Zoch. Elio Navi never died. He always tasted life. And therefore he's able to give over a feeling of excitement of life. Shabbos Toameh Chaim Zoch. Now, of course, there's a custom. You might have heard of this. It's very popular by the Chassidim. And it's one of these few things from the Chassidim that others have taken because it's so much fun, which is to fress on Erev Shabbos also, not to wait until the food comes out that your wife worked so hard to make, but to have actually like a whole big meal or something. It's not Toameh Chaim Zoch. When I grew up in my house, Toameh Chaim Zoch meant that my father would put the spoon into the soup and it said Kovet Shabbos Kodesh, an hour before candles. And he gave a little bit of a taste, and that was called Toameh Chaim Zoch, not a five-course meal being served or catered. Toameh Chaim Zoch, that's Shabbos. It's not talking about the soup, although the soup has a different taste than Shabbos, because it has the chiz, it's Elio Navi Dickens. It has the essence, it didn't lose, it's alive. Shabbos is when we come back to life. Toameh Chaim Zoch, the whole week we die. And then the neshama goes out piece by piece, and the neshama goes out. And when you lose the tam, when you lose the taste, tam is ki'ikah, then you lose the essence of who you are. And it's like, it's an empty, like God forbid, like a corpse that has no life. Doesn't have any life. If chas v'chalila, person's Shabbos is just about sleeping and reading a novel, that's not called being alive. That's not the life of Shabbos. That's not being alive on Shabbos. Shabbos Toameh Chaim Zoch. Misa, death, means when the chiyus disappears and all that's left are dry bones. There are people who have a Shabbos that's dry. There are people who have a Pesach that's dry. Or they think they have to go traveling 13,000 miles to find some life to it. Which is not because of Pesach, it's just to get away from Pesach. Not to find Elio Navi. You don't have to go anywhere to find. That's where Elio said he could be sitting in jail. Elio Navi comes over here when you open your heart. That taste. You can't find them by traveling someplace. If you're in jail and the chiyus has left your life, if you're in a marriage or you're in prison, if you're in relationships that you feel imprisoned by, the taste is not something that comes because of going somewhere. You might think that if you have a vacation together, that's going to revive the dead. That's going to bring the dead back to life. It's very short-lived. That's not what it means, tchias ha'meisim. Tchias ha'meisim, Rebbe Elio was saying, is when the heart is open. When you're able to find that tam inside. Otherwise, it's that Tzomas Yivesh. Shabbos could be dry. Yontiv, dry. Rosh Hashanah, where's the earliest? Where can I finish the earliest? Yom Kippur, when can I be out of shul before the guy that lives next door in the other shul? There are people that have told me they've had conversations. Some will say to them, you know, wow. What do you mean? You daven Friday night in Eish Kodesh, doesn't it? You get home like a half hour after, 40 minutes after everybody. Like, why would you do that? And the answer to that is, why don't you try coming? Come, Hadarab, why don't you come? Because it's not something that you could explain. It's a tam. When something is tasteful, when somebody has good taste, it's not something that's mathematical. When you walk into a house and it's beautiful, or you meet a person, and there's something very tasteful about that person, it's something else. It's not just thing. It's not something you can just explain. It's something else. It's a chiddush. It's something that has come back to life. That's why it's an amazing thing. It was a strange food that we ate in the desert. The man, right? That's what we ate. It was food that came from Shemayim. It wasn't regular food that you could buy in a takeout or anything in a grocery. It was food that came from Shemayim. And what did that food taste like, Chaver? What did the man taste like? Whatever your heart told you it was. It's an amazing thing. In other words, it wasn't mugbal, it wasn't limited by the physical world. It's what it had this direct connection. Your neshama was hooked up directly to the man, and what you thought and what you felt is what it tasted like. It was a reflection of who you were, because that was a food that came from Shemayim, and just like Eliyahu Navi never tasted death, the man never tasted death. It was a type of food that didn't die. It didn't experience death. It wasn't just a thing that rats and smells and you throw in the garbage. It was something different. It was like Eliyahu Navi coming into your mouth. It was a neshika from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now let's end. All of this was by way of getting to the whole point of what the Avodah of Pesach is. You know, if you look in the Haggadah, and I was thinking maybe I would say this over Pesach in the Shul, because I want the men to hear this also, because it's so important. It's such a big yisod. So, if you look in the Haggadah, there are a lot of questions in the Haggadah. Okay, besides the Manishtana and the Echad Miyodei and all that stuff, there's also everything that we do, we ask Al Shumma. Like, when you have the matzah Al Shumma, like, why do we eat matzah? Right? It says not good. What's the reason? Mora al shumma. Mora. What's the reason for mora? And we say, because they embittered our lives. That's why we embittered. Pesach al shumma. Why? What's the reason? So on the surface, it looks like the whole Seder of Leil Pesach is looking for explanations. But what I wanted to tell you tonight, to share with you, is that on a deeper level, the night of Pesach is not looking for explanations or reasons. It's looking for taste, for the taste of what it means to be a Jew. It's looking for that time. It's looking for Eliyahu Navi in the night in Galus. It's looking for that. It's looking, of course, the Haggadah is filled with all kinds of amazing ideas and concepts, and you can get all kinds of beautiful Haggadahs and have all fantastic ideas and fantastic concepts. And if you're going to spend Pesach night of your Zohar to have your family together, if your Zohar to have children, grandchildren, and the whole Leil Seder, or company, guests, whatever it is, and the whole Leil Seder, the whole night of Pesach, the point and the purpose of the night of Pesach is what? Is to come up with as many interesting explanations as you can. You miss Pesach. Zelozeh. Zeloza. There's a reason why in Eretz Yisrael, I remember the statistic was something like 95% of the Jews of Eretz Yisrael have some kind of a Seder. In Chutz Lars it's less, but also quite a significant, whatever they call a Seder, doesn't mean it's a halach, but they do something that's called a Seder. Because something happened. They met Eliyahu Navi. Something happened 30 years ago, 50 years ago, whatever it was. There was a time of Yiddishkeit that didn't die. Sofkosov, we were put into this world to receive something, to guard it ferociously, and then to try to hand it over to our kids, right? That's the Avtachas, to receive it, to protect it, to guard it, and then to give it over. That's over here. To continue. Somehow, the night of Pesach is a night of opening the door for Eliyahu Navi, for that person, Shalot Tam, Tam Misa Ukvur. For that person who never died, who never tasted death. And therefore, the tachlis of Leil Pesach is not to educate. And if you see that in some Haggadahs, or if you ever hear speeches like that, I'm not saying it's not true, but it's very, very basic and shallow way of looking at the night of Pesach. It's not a night of education. It's even more than a night of inspiration. It's a night of Yishakenim and Neshikos Pio. It's something you can't explain. It's a night of Jews trying to give a good taste of Yiddishkeit over to other Jews. Giving over a taste of what it means, like giving a geschmack. Because if you think for a second, everybody's already anticipating the taste of the matzah, some like the shatzah, some like the kerestira, some like the charedim. Then everybody says, my matzahs are the best matzahs, right? There's this whole competition who has the best matzahs. You like the taste of matzah? It's geschmack? Damas. It's geschmack to us because we're holy Jews. If you give the same cracker to an Eino Yehudi, like the story that Rabbi Nachman told, I'm not going to tell the whole story now, with the two they met on the bench and they went, you know, the story, not going into a Jew and a non-Jew. Matzah is the driest, most miserable cracker. It's nothing. It has nothing in it except flour, water, garnish. Nothing. It's hard. It breaks your teeth. It ruins your digestive system for a month. It has nothing at all going for it. It has nothing going for it. If you would bring out this box, this $25 box of a couple of matzahs, and say to an Eino Yehudi, to an Eino Ben Bris, to a non-Jew, this is our gourmet food. Only the people who have the best taste in the world can appreciate this food. You ready? And he says, sure. And, you know, this, who knows what this is going to be? This is going to be some kind of a rare, exotic type of sushi that nobody ever tasted before. And you give him a piece of matzah. And you say, yeah, you got to finish it in 6 minutes. And no talking. No talking. And the oilam sits there. And everybody's like in Gan Eden. Mechled mahimanus, the food of emunah. Mechled asvas, the food of healing. Rabbi Shalom, open my heart, Elianavi, what it means to be a Jew. Can you explain this in words to somebody, what it is? The matzah doesn't have a physical taste. It doesn't have any taste. You know, yours has a taste. It doesn't have any physical taste. The taste of the matzah, you know what it is? It's the taste of Jewish faith. It's the taste of thousands of years of our holding on to Yiddishkeit and giving it over to our kids. It's the taste of Elianavi. It's the taste of the Creator himself, Mamish. That's what it is. It's not something that physically, what do you say, what is it, a matzah? It's Torah Me'ach Chaim Zochu. It's the taste of the man. It's the taste of the neshama of a Jew. It's the neshama. And therefore, there were all kinds of accusations that were made about us that were tampering with our matzahs and were putting blood into my, you know, all these stuff. You know how many Jews died because of these kinds of things? Because they were afraid of our matzahs. They were afraid of our matzahs. And in their Avodah Zarah, they tried to incorporate into their ceremonies certain things about also this Indian, which I don't want to talk about. They're afraid of our matzahs. What's the time of a matzah? As a time. Shut down. The time is a time that's called Yishakeinim Nishikos Pia. And that is the taste that the Baruch Shalom wants us to give over on Pesach 9. To receive. My screaming and ranting about hotels and all the stuff that's happened to Pesach over the years, that people began to make Pesach into Pesach vacation. It's not because I don't again the Jews should enjoy and go away and have their own pools and do all kinds of enjoyable things. I love the Jews should enjoy them, and I also like to enjoy. But I'm afraid that we're losing the time, and I don't know how to explain that I'm screaming and crying about it for so many years, the time of Pesach, that has to do with the smells of Erev Pesach in the home. That have to do with all of the cleaning. There's a time of what it means to be a Jew that it's not something that has to do with price or airplanes or it's something else. It's Eliyahu Navi. And the word Eliyahu is the same letters as the word Halavai. And that's the Halavai. Everything in Eliyahu is Halavai. This is what we're waiting for. We're asking you for Yishakeinim Nishikos Pi. Let me end. I'll tell you a story that I also try to tell every Pesach. It's a famous story. It happened by the Bnei Sosra Susi Elain. Maybe it's by the Chayza. I don't remember now. But there's a story that it was the morning of Pesach. You know, everybody's tired. Everybody comes into shul. And everybody was. everybody was all excited, you know, also talking about the Seder and how it went and so on. And the Bnei Sasa, the Tzaddik himself, I think it's either the Chayza or the Bnei Sasa, said, everybody went to the Chassidim because they were talking about it, because they went to the Rebbe's Seder at the end. You know, the Chassidim came and they were talking about the Rebbe's Seder, the Rebbe's Seder. And the Rebbe said, I'm sure you remember this, the Rebbe said, my Seder is nothing. Moshe the Vasa Trager, Moshe the water carrier, his Seder. Oh, Moshe's water, Moshe's Seder. And everybody said, Moshe? Moshe was the town shikker. Every town had a drunk. He was a water carrier, which is the worst job. And he was a drunk. He was a shikker. And one of the biggest days for shikarim, for drunks, is Erev Pesach. Because there's a mitzvah to go to chametz in the stand. And there's a lot of schnapps around. And the drunks for Erev Pesach was... So, before the Zman, of course. A lot of drinking. So the Rebbe said, go ask Moshe about his Pesach, about his Seder, what he had. And they went to Moshe. And they said, Moshe, the Rebbe said we should ask you about your Seder. What was your Seder? What happened by your Seder? And he was so embarrassed, he couldn't talk. And the Rebbe came over and said, Moshe, tell them about your Seder. And Moshe, Rebbe, you know, the Rebbe had Ruach HaKodesh. Rebbe, you know what my Seder was. Why are you embarrassing me? He said, I want you to tell what happened last night. So all the Jews are standing there. And Moshe says, okay, Chev, you know that I was drunk yesterday. And you know that even by davening, even by Marv, I was asleep on the bench in the back of the shul. And you know the couple of Chevra carried me to the house. And I could not wake up. I just could not. I couldn't go to the Seder table. And my wife and the kids were sitting at this, waiting for me. And every few minutes, my wife came and said to me, Moshe, how could you do this? The whole town, every father in town is saying the Seder, saying the Haggadah, and you're lying shikr in bed. What's the matter with you? And he said, I tried. Rebbe, you know, I tried. I couldn't move. I was so drunk, I couldn't move. And the kids were saying, you know, Daddy, Tati, what? Everybody's having a Seder. And I said, I couldn't talk. I was just drunk. So they were waiting, and finally it was very, 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 very late, and they had to eat on their own. They did everything. And I was lying there in bed. And I called them in. I had a little bit of consciousness. I called them in, and I said to my children, I said, Kindlech, I'm so sorry. I beg you to forgive me. He said, I swear to you, I'll never drink the rest of my life. Never. I'm so sorry. I'll never do that again. I'll never drink, ever. But I didn't do what I was supposed to do. What I was supposed to tell you was that Hashem created the world in 6 days and he rested on Shabbos. And then the world got crazy. All kinds of problems. But then they had the Shvatim. They had the Avos, the Imahos, our fathers and mothers, and the Shvatim came to the world. And they started to build Yiddishkeit again. Until finally we went into Mitzrayim. Oh, he says, Kindlech, it was bad. He was such an anti-Semite. And he gave us such sorrows. But Hashem loves us, and he took us out of Mitzrayim. And I want to tell you something, Kindlech. I swear to you. The same way that God took us out of Egypt then, he'll take us out again. And he said, then I don't know what happened. I fell asleep. That was it. So they were all sitting there listening to this. And the Rebbe said, since Am Yisrael left Mitzrayim, no father ever gave over Pesach like Moshe. No father ever made it so clear. The time of Pesach. So Hashem's work should help each and every one of us, that we should be able to taste that taste of Pesach. Wherever we are, to taste the taste of Pesach, to open our hearts, to allow Eli Hanavi, the one who never died, to revive us, and to bring us back to Yerushalayim, Biduim Lutzian Birina, Lashana Habab Yerushalayim Habab.